session number 27045, Reel 1.
Mr. Jake Jacobs, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Jacobs?
Bolingbroke Nursing Home, Wandsworth, London, 9/12/25.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background and your early childhood?
Family background. Well, my father was born in London, Henry Jacobs, so lived in there. And he was in the 1914 war, he was in the Territorials, London Irish. And he spent time in the trenches. Well, meantime, my mother, whose father was a seaman, a stoker in the Royal Navy, down at Plymouth, he retired from the Navy, and he come up to London. He got a job in Battersea Power Station as a stoker. And they lived in Merrick Road, Battersea. And my dad was on leave from the Western Front, and he was watching the Zeppelins go over. And he knew my mother's sister, Esther. And she was out the door, and he said, "Hello, Esther." She said, "I'm not Esther, I'm Rose," because my mother was in service, happened to be home that day, and that's how he met mother. And that's when they got married. And he was in the print before the war, but when he come back, he was out of apprenticeship, he'd all gone by the board. They never had no continuing apprenticeships. So he thought to himself, well, he got a job as a caretaker in St. Bride's Foundation Institute, just off Fleet Street, London. And he, you know, used to do his evening classes in there. And in the end, they took him on as a technical assistant, which he worked right up to the time he died, from the St. Bride's Foundation Institute, which is a print place. It went to Stamford Street in London, London School of Printing, where he served till he died at the age of 63. That's him. And consequently, most of my family were in the print. I had an elder sister, Nellie. There was me, the second eldest. There was Doris. She was 3 years younger than me, and a younger brother, Jim. And they all finished up in the print, one way or another.
Now, where were you living?
First of all, they got a house down at Beckentree on the GLC, and then they transferred to Burnt Oak, 76 Playfield Road.
And that's where you were when you were a kid?
That's where I was when a kid. Not all the time, though, because they started building up, and I think my dad had a idea that he didn't want to pay rent, he wanted to buy a house, and he had a endowment policy due, but I think he borrowed the money off my uncle, his younger brother, and moved into these houses over at Hillbury Chapman Estate, Stag Lane Estate. The Aerodrome Estate was called, where the main road was called Mollison Way, where Jim Mollison used to take off for his trips. It was an aerodrome.
what used to be Hendon?
No, not Hendon Aerodrome.
Oh, sorry, which one?
Stag Lane Aerodrome.
I don't know. Okay, yeah.
It's where Amy Morrison used to sit. It's a private aerodrome. If you go down there, it's got a road there that runs off of there called De Havilland Road. It's the De Havilland factory there. And he bought a house there. I can remember the price. £4.99. It was £25 down and 15 and fourpence a week buying a house. I think they go for about 2,300, 400 quid now. And that's what he paid for it, £4.99. Well, this house here, this was built 1938, and this house was 620 quid.
Now,
250,000 now.
What was your childhood like then? You were mainly living in the same area?
Burnt Oak, yeah. Started off at Stag Lane School. What was the school? Barnfield School, in the infants. And, you know, just ordinary kids. I only had a sister there, Dotsie was born there. And I used to enjoy school. I was very popular at school. I was a pain in the arse kid because I was always performing, you know. And eventually I became...
What do you mean performing?
Are
you telling jokes?
You know, if they had recitation, I mean, I'd give it with feeling. I can remember one I did when I was about six. And I knew if I pulled that one out of the hat, I'd get top marks. It was called The Sweep by Walter de la Mare. Black as a chimney is his face and ivory white his teeth, and in his brass-bound cart he rides a chestnut broom beneath. Sweep, sweep, he cries this way, and he's... Oh, I can't remember reading it. But that's how it goes. And with his begging, bulging bag of soot, but half the world asleep, his small cart wheels him off again, still hoarsely bawling, sweep! And that got me... Yeah, and then after that, I got into this junior school, because by that time... We'd moved from there into Stag Lane, and you was getting under the Harrow. No, it was under Wembley. It was in Wembley Borough, which is Brent now. But we had to go to school in Harrow, and I finished up going to Camrose School. And then they built the wooden hut and Stag Lane Junior School, so we transferred that. So my early primary school was interrupted. I went to three schools, actually. Barnfield, Camrose, come back to Stag Lane, and then after my buddy was, you know, went back up to Camrose for the senior part. I think I should have passed the 11 plus. I mean, it was bright enough, but I don't know. If I tell you, I'd never moved out on a bus, and my mother was never, you know, never well. That's why my mother taught all us boys to cook and look after ourselves, because my mother was in and out of hospital all the time. And she used to say, I would keep you to teach you how to do these things, because if I ever, you know, pop off, as she used to say, I don't want none of my kids going in on home. They'd be self-reliant. And that's why I used to do that. Well, when my sister started work, and she was 2 years older than me, so what did she start? Start work at 14. I was 13 when the war started, so she must have started just before the war. And, because when the bombing was on.
Oh, come on, sir. Keep yeah,
it yeah. And, I'll tell a lie, and going on a bit now. When I was in a junior school, before the 11 plus, I had a very good singing voice. Everybody said it, still got it, actually. And I used to sing duets with a girl named Betty Bingham. And one day the schoolmaster said, he says, I'd like to see you at the Royal Academy of Music, see if you can get a scholarship. And we went up there and we sung. And they put a report back, so you've got a nice voice, but unfortunately we couldn't read the dots. We said, yes, that your mother sends you to lessons so you can sing from a song sheet. Tonic so far, they used to call it. And my mother immediately come home, and she said, well, we're sending Bibiana to listen to her music round the corner. It cost them a bit of money, but I didn't take to it. I didn't take it to it at all. So in the end, I used to be, me mates used to be knocking on the door and saying, you're coming out, you know, tin can cup and all that. And there was a kid who'd bloody join in. So in the end, I was bloody kicking the streets. So my sister took up where I left off. But it didn't stop me singing anyway. And I left there, went to Camrose School. And I did the rounds. I was in on everything. I helped paint a mural round the floor. I took part in a pageant. It was Marco Polo, as far as I know. Fell in love with my primary school teacher, Miss Warwick. She was a gym mistress. And if she come up this site and slide up and show you how to do it, I'd go to pieces. You know. And she, her mother owned a shop opposite Red Hill Hospital, that was. A little wool shop called Warwick's. And I knew she lived there, and I used to go there as a kid on my little bike and wait for her to come out just to look at her. And it broke my heart when she married the bloody gym master, Mr. Baggs. I went right off her then. And she wasn't good looking.
What were your favourite subjects at school then?
Art, maths. I was pretty all round. But I used to muck about, you know what I mean? And in those days, if you got a new teacher, you used to suss her out. But it was practice for the boys. If you got a new teacher coming, and you got all your desks in the class, you flip will say, right, I want to muck about here. So they're all fighting for the back seat, you know? And what was her name? She was Miss Welsh, I think. And I thought, I've got it made here. I got right in the back in the corner. And she come in, the old glasses, the old bun, head. And the first thing she said, that boy there. I said, who? She said, you. Out here, sit there. And she had a desk right in front of her, right? She knew what the boys were up to, and she pulled the black. I said, you know, she said, you're there. Anyway, that report, I was top of the class. Because every time I lifted my head out of the books, she gave me a wallop. I couldn't do anything else but come first. But she was all right, though, in the end. And I sung in the choir there a lot as well.
Did you be at that school when the war broke out?
Yes. Well, I never went back to school. I would have been on December the 9th, 1939, I would have been 14. But it started during the summer already, so I never went back.
What do you remember of the outbreak? I mean, did you hear the broadcast? What did you think?
Oh, yeah, I heard that. I was cycling around the shop on my bike, my 10-bob bike I had. And got round the family. I was cycling round in, and I said, war's declared. And I come in there, and I remember my little brother jumping out of the bath. He was only about 5 or 6. And running out of the garden, crying his eyes out. War, you know, it was... But...
What did your family think of it? Because your dad had been in the first
round. Oh, my dad was a mess. My dad was a mess. Even when we was kids, he was.
He got
well physically. He was a. He went through 4 years of it. And he was a bundle of nerves. Oh, he probably had shell shock. But every time he couldn't travel, he was always travel sickness, and he was always puny. And he got affected him. And during the Blitz, I mean, when they bombed.
So what did you think? I
tell you what, you start as a kid, 13-year-old, and kids are teenagers, whatever, and I got a job, fireproof tanks, because I was waiting for my apprenticeship to come through from my father. I was supposed to be a lithographic printer, and I was due for another apprenticeship as a map maker in a lithograph company called Gronner's. German firm, because the war came along, and that all went by ball, because they were German, they were interned. So it left me out in the open. So after a while, my dad used his influence, and he knew one of his instructors got a job at Nevitz, Colindale, as a manager. So he asked the manager there, what was his name? I can't remember his name then. Anyway, they took me on as a 7-year apprentice in bookbinding, you know, the leather work and stuff like that. And that's where I stayed. The only trouble is, I went in there and they thought I was a manager's nephew, and they all treated me, you know, a bit of contempt, you know, blue-eyed boy, and I thought, don't like this. Anyway.
So what was the work? You were learning how to bookbind?
Bookbinding, yeah. That's done.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. I would have preferred to do the lithograph work, but it's always offered to me. I always got good at it. I earned a living. I worked it at Oddham's when it was the companion book club and all that stuff. But this was mostly, down it there, it was mostly law work. Housewives Laws of England, Forms and Proceedings, Medical Encyclopedia, British Medical Encyclopedia. You get them on the bloody run, and being a nosy little kid, you know, you have a look, front me the bloody death, something, a medical program. Woo! But I was well up on bloody birth control even then. They said, you said, do copies of Maury Stokes' Married Love. And that was, you know, a book that was banned bloody when it first came out. But times have changed, didn't they? And I enjoyed it. I used to go, and I stayed there till I got called up. But in the meantime, I joined the Scouts.
Tell me about your Boy Scouts.
I joined the Boy Scouts. Actually, I joined the Cubs when I was 10. Now, people won't believe this, but they couldn't get me enrolled because they couldn't get an act to fit me. So they said, well, you better put him in the Scouts. So I went in the Scouts when I was 10. And so I got enrolled in there, so I got in there before time. And I enjoyed it rather. And I didn't join in a lot because we was four kids and the average round that way was one or two. People were buying our houses, you don't have the amount of kids that we had. So I don't think my mum could afford it because we were dealing with people up in the posh areas of Edgware. Because I went to Fourth Edgware, it's the Handel's Church up there. Whitchurch, you know, sung in a choir up there and all.
And
I got slung out of there through a court of honour for smoking.
Hang on, so what kind of things were you doing with the Scouts while you were in them?
Well, I used to go there. I was in the Owls. We used to go up to the patrol headquarters, which is in the graveyard, just by the side of the vicarage. It was all dirty and dusty up there. And we supposed to up there, you know, first aid and bit of things we used to muck about. And it's all dark, you know, the wires whistling through. And we used to have a trip around the graveyard trying to frighten each other, you know. And we succeeded once with old Ronnie Smith, that's it. Because you had the shirts on with bare arms. He come behind one of these oval stones and we give him an owl. And poor old Ronnie, he ran down the gallop. We stopped him all the way down Cannon's Park Station. Right, bloody couldn't stop him. He's bloody gone like the clappers. Frightened the daylights out of him. Mind you, we'd have been the same. And I don't even know it, in the corner by the door there, there's a grave with a skull and crossbones on it. And they used to say, the kids used to say, well, if you get on a moonlight night and walk round that three times, a ghost comes out and gets you. You don't believe that, do you? I said, well, go on, do it. Do you know nobody never go round three times, ever? Oh, no. It's funny, really.
Now, how did the war affect your life? First thing is...
had to grow up.
Air raid precautions. Did you have an Anderson shelter or anything like that?
No.
Any shelter at all?
They had one built in the street.
Tell me about that one. What was that like?
Well, I don't know. I never went in it. Never went in it. Our mother used to take the kids in it, but I never would. What we did, it was only when it got real bad. We used to sleep downstairs. And we, you know, all the bombing going over. Anyway, by the time I got the job, before I was waiting for the print, got a job in Power Equipment Company. It was an engineering firm, I told you about that. And I cut my hand.
I thought you were working as a bookbinder.
Yeah, I was waiting for the apprenticeship to come in. We hadn't got any vacancy yet. He was just trying to get it round. And then I cut my hand, and my dad being a staunch Labour Party's trade unionist that he was, he wrote a letter and said I couldn't operate machine without the full use of both hands. So they totally sacked me. So I thought, I haven't got a job, I'll go next door. And it was a firm called Fireproof Tanks. It used to be Bentley's motor place. Billy Cotton used to be stationed in there. We used to get all his cars from there. When you went in there, you could see all the pits where they built the Bentley's. But this branch of Airspeed Portsmouth took it over and they were rubberising tanks of aircraft with latex foam and covering in linen with dope. So they self-sealing tanks, you know, for aircraft. And they used to get the tanks from Andy Pages, galleys, and I was a fit as mate come dog's body. I was a jack of all trades. In fact, Mr. Vine used to say to me, would you take the baby out for a walk this afternoon? He lived in Baron's Court, down just Church Road, Kingsbury. And I used to go round here, take the baby for a walk. And then, when the Home Guard started up LDV, they got all these bloody rifles in there. Well, I had a case from the 1914-18 war, full of grease, and that's what I used to do. Clean them up. I'd clean more bloody the Enfields than that, you know, these rifles, with spirit and stuff, put them through. They're absolutely full of grease. Weren't no rust on them. And you had to, you know, get them up to spotless, and they'd start dishing them out, because before that, they had broom handles.
So were you actually a member of the Home Guard, or what?
No. I wasn't a member, I was too young anyway. But that was in 19th with the Battle of Britain. But when the Battle of Britain starts, they started a red alert, right? So you carried on working in the factories till the aircraft were overhead. In the meantime, you used to have the lookouts, right? So if the red alert come, there were certain blokes got tin hatches, go on the roof of the factory with their binoculars and look. And if the battle ceased to be at any minute, they'd probably send you back to work, you know? That was red alert. Well, me being about 14 and a half, right, and I was the youngest one in there, all the rest were men. There was only about 14 men there, if anything. And there was about women doing the sewing. I got sent in a bloody air raid shirt with 400 screaming women in their 18s, 19s. They nearly raped me. I said, I ain't going in there no more. So he said, you got to, you can't. So I said, no, I ain't. So he said, well, you come with us then. They gave me a tin hat. I thought, oh, I've got a tin hat now. So I said, great score on that tin hat. When all the bombs were going all around, shrapnel falling right, left and centre, I put my tin hat on and go pictures. And up at Burntoke, there's a place called the Savoy. I think it's still there, it's bingo hall now. Top of Montrose Avenue, just at the top there. And I'm walking along, the searchlights are going, and down towards London, you see the old cracker buddy, guns blazing. Boom, 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 the old chap coming over there. And I'm just getting about to corner Stag Lane, when suddenly, whee, boom, hit my tin hat right, and the thing knocked it right in the middle of the road. I thought, bloody hell, you get killed here. I ran all the way home, but it didn't stop me. I was upset when I had to give that hat back when I left. But it didn't stop keep me indoors either.
Now, what were the German air raids like? Give us an idea of it.
Well, I used to be up on the roof of the factory collecting shrapnel. That's all I was interested in. I thought I'd had it if I found a space cap or a nose cap.
So you weren't actually acting as a lookout? You were just...
No, I was just bloody... Because I wouldn't go on the air raid show, that's all. But it didn't stop my youth. We still went out. And it didn't last all the war. I mean, it was only a whole, you know, when they had the Battle of Britain, then you had the night bombing. And after that, a little while, it eased up a bit. Get the occasional one. Mind you.
Was there any bombing in the Stag Lane area?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
One Sunday afternoon, it was in Mollison Way, near an air raid show, just by the alleyway. Because I lived in Leighton Close, you come through the alleyway, and the Leighton Close would be out there. And we heard this plane zooming down, we heard the whistle of a bomb, and all four of us tried to get through this entrance into this air raid show. It was too late, the bang was terrific. It really was. So it looked as though, it felt as if it was round by my house, because it was at the back of the Mollison Way. So I skated home and went in the back way, and when I got in the back room, the place was covered in soot. My dad looked like the nigger minstrel, you know, and my sister had been sitting and reading her red letter months, and she was all covered in soot. It fallen without warning in Vancouver Road, it's just down the back there, knocked out about 4 houses, killed a few people. But that was a big bomb that never had a warning. Another time, as I said, I used to go out of a night time, and they didn't keep me in. And I tugged myself up. I think I was going to go to a dance somewhere. Anyway, you had an air raid shell right in the middle of Morrison Way by the shops. Air raid shell. No, a warden's post. And I heard this swish. Thing diving, and then heard this boom, and it was a big bang. It was a landmine fell down in Hendon, on the right hand side of Hendon, knocked out whole estate of people, and I was flat on the ground. There was no warning there. It was late in night, about 8 o'clock at night, and I was on this mud, face down the mud. You didn't argue about where you could get dirty. So when I heard the bang, all the warden would rob, now boots come out and they kicked me to death. I thought, well, I ain't going out tonight. Got covered in mud. My suit got ruined. And when I got indoors, my mum thought I'd been bombed. She said, you've been that? Was it itchy? She said, no. I said, I got just down the bloody road and all the wardens come out and I got kicked to death. Anyway, mum got the Cootons to get a new suit out of them. Oh, yeah. War damage claim, you know, they call that. People used to have, if you got bombed out, the government made you have insurance, war damage, you know? And so you only paid a little bit, but you got your house repaired, whatever. Got houses round here, done it. Some houses on this estate got bombed.
So what was the blackout like?
We got so used to it, you got to see in the dark in the end. I never bothered me to blackout.
How did you do your own house? I mean, how did your mum black out the house?
Oh, just only curtains. So, black blinds. It was blackout curtains to just pull them along. Cut all these. It was, some used to have black paper in ones you couldn't bloody, you know. Never had no blinds. He didn't have very bright lights anyway. And all the cars had hoods over their headlights. And no, the blackout was nothing to worry about.
What about the
I tell you what, blackout. As I say, I used to travel all over, and you ain't seen nothing yet till you see the night sky in the summer when there's no lights polluting the light. I remember times I used to go up to the Whitchurch Institute and walk home around Broomgrove Gardens, and I might or may not have had a nice little bit of bird. And you've got a neat little bit. No, nothing. Girls never give you nothing in those. But I thought I was in love. And I'm looking at all these bloody stars in the sky, and they're like bloody jewels set in velvet. And I'm sitting there, I walk straight to a bloody lamppost. I had two black eyes. I couldn't eat nothing. Well, bloody hell. I remember that quite well.